Scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming upon that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that. You know, so many people in our society today seek validation of their beliefs and indeed of themselves as a person of worth. Too often this validation never comes. In our scripture, Simeon received the validation he sought, validating the coming of the Lord's Messiah. What happens when individuals do not receive the validation they seek? Well, any number of things may happen, many of which we see on the national news. Sometimes we may be a person who has done many good things in our lives only to have some tragedy befall us. From the single incident, we may begin to question our own worth. We may ask God, why did this happen to me? I've always thought I was a good person. What have I done wrong? Am I being punished? After asking these questions, if we do not come to the conclusion, there are things in life that just happen, and there is no rhyme or reason. It is not about us as a person. We may fall into depression or despair, feeling we are not a person of worth. I want to share with you a story, and it's not a happy story. But I want to see if you see parallels in this story to things that we see in life today, in our own society. And I want you to think really hard about this because the last few years, I think, are a great parallel. In 1827, a small group of people settled around a bay at Port Fairy, Australia. Among them was a newlywed couple, Sonny and Matilda Dixon. Now keep in mind, this is a true story. The town soon began to grow due to its fast-developing fishing industry. Local stores began to spring up and people started to cultivate the land. However, in 1836, Sonny Dixon was killed in a fishing accident, leaving his wife Matilda a widow. After her husband's death, Matilda became very close to the town's children. She would bake cakes and give them to the children when they lost a tooth, thus earning the name the Tooth Fairy. One night in 1840, while she was sleeping, a fire in her stove raged out of control. By the time the townspeople came to rescue her, the fire was out. But Matilda refused to come to the door or accept their assistance. The fire in her home left her horribly disfigured, with an extreme sensitivity to light. She wore a porcelain mask and only went out at night. From then on, she ceased all contact with the outside world. Still, from time to time, she would leave gifts at the doorsteps of children's houses, usually small change since she had stopped baking. Matilda would wander the streets only under the cover of night, her face hidden behind a white porcelain mask, and look for houses where children had left their baby teeth and a handkerchief tacked to the front door. One afternoon in 1841, two young children told their parents they were off to visit the Tooth Fairy. When they failed to return home, suspicion immediately fell on Matilda. The official search party quickly turned into an angry mob, thirsty for revenge. Armed with torches and a rope, they raced up the twisting road toward Matilda's house. Matilda bolted her door as the mob began hurling rocks at the house and screaming for her to come out. In an anguished, confused voice, she proclaimed her innocence, but it was no use. Half a dozen men broke down the door and dragged Matilda out, knocking over a huge jar and spilling hundreds of baby teeth across the floor. Matilda covered her face with the white porcelain mask and cried out for mercy. Though she begged them not to peek, two men pried the mask away from her face and smashed it on the ground. The men gasped, and some became ill when they saw what was behind the mask. A once kind face now burned beyond recognition and contorted by pain and anguish. No one who was there ever forgot what he saw, though they never spoke of it except to cry out in the middle of a nightmare. Matilda was hanged and suffered terribly before she died, kicking and flailing. When there was finally no breath left in her body, they set fire to it, and to ease their conscience, agreed what they had done was an act of justice. As they looked up at the strangled, charred body, there were shouts in the distance. The rest of the town's inhabitants were running up the winding road toward them, stopping dead in their tracks at the sight of the poor old woman's dangling corpse. The crowd parted, and there were the two lost children who had simply lost their way, wandered too deep into the woods, and fallen asleep. The citizens of Port Ferry, realizing their mistake, buried Matilda's body along with their secret. Many years later, the town cemetery had to be moved to a new location. Matilda Dixon's body could not be found. The story of Matilda Dixon, the Tooth Fairy, was told to many generations after the murder, and it is believed that her spirit visits children on the night they lose their baby teeth. This tragedy could have been avoided if only people had not jumped to conclusions. Am I right? Instead of seeking to destroy Matilda, what if they had validated her good works and, in spite of her disfigurement, had validated her as a person? It's been said it is easier to blame than forgive. It is easier to destroy than to build. So often in our society and around the world, an individual or a group of individuals does something horrendous and we are quick to blame an entire race or nation. We begin to label them with unkind names or words. We cause them to call into question their own worth as an individual or as a people. All too often, the effect is tragic. Jesus was called the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And what happened? The Sanhedrin resented him. In fact, hated him and feared him. The Romans accused him of treason and said Jesus had declared himself the King of the Jews and sought to overthrow the Roman government, which the Sanhedrin quickly supported the Romans against their own. The result? Death on the cross. Not once did either of these groups come forward to say, "Hey, great job. You're doing some awesome works for God, and we really appreciate it." Absolutely no validation for Jesus, only condemnation. How difficult is it to validate someone? Do you have a family member, a friend, a coworker, or employee that would love to hear words of validation? Or is it withheld from them because you never think of it or hold some grudge against them? I have a counseling practice and I have a lot of employees, and my employees will come from time to time and they'll say, "What am I getting for Christmas?" And the first thing that comes to my mind is money. "Well, you're going to get a Christmas bonus." And they said, "No, I'd just like to hear you tell me I'm doing a good job." They actually say that. "I just want to hear that I'm doing a good job." What I believe our Lord would have us understand about validation is that validation creates hope. And what does hope do for us? Hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. Listen to what validation did for Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That is, that he had been validated. Moved by the Spirit, that is, by hope, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I've been validated. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. You have given me hope." I read a true story about Louis Mayer. From his childhood in New Brunswick, Canada, he had gotten into a fight at school when he was quite a small boy. And he was feeling bitter, filled with resentment and a desire for revenge. His body hurt, but his mind hurt more. And when he got home, he was muttering threats about what he would do to the other kid if he ever got a chance. The older boys were helping him build his vocabulary on that subject. His mother didn't seem to be paying any particular attention and went around with her work in the usual serene manner. She was a gentle woman who loved God and never doubted that God was guiding every part of their lives. The next day they were out in the country on a family picnic, and she called Louis aside. "Louis, come here a moment. I want to show you something." She took him to a little clearing that faced a rugged, towering mountain on all sides. "Now, Lewis," she told him, "say what I heard you say yesterday." Lewis began to feel embarrassed, and he protested, "But I don't remember saying anything wrong." His mother persisted. "I do," she replied. "You said, darn you." He couldn't keep anything from his mother, and they both knew it. "Yes, I remember now," he said. She touched his arm gently. "Say it now," she commanded. Lewis repeated it as quietly as he could. His mother smiled patiently. "Louder, son. Say it louder. Whatever you say, you must be willing to say it as loud as you can, to shout it for all to hear." He didn't want to do it, but it never occurred to him to disobey his mother. So he faced the mountains and he shouted at the top of his lungs, "Darn you!" Right back it came like thunder, like a voice from heaven it denounced him. "Now," said his mother, "try it another way. Say, bless you." Lewis took a long breath and yelled, "Bless you." Back it came, strong and clear, and welcome. "Bless you." "Which do you prefer, son?" his mother asked. "It's entirely up to you. Whatever you say to others and to the world returns to you. Your life creates an echo. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can choose to bless or you can choose to curse. Every day, every hour, you have that choice, Lewis." Years later, Louis B. Mayer had a bad accident that nearly killed him. For many weeks, the doctors didn't know if he would live. He lay in the hospital in pain and misery and heard his mother's voice again, "You will have your choice as long as you live." He pondered what he should give the echo to give back to him. And he said to himself, "I am not afraid to die, but I want to live." The last word, "live," echoed back to him, strong and clear in his mind. Live. It multiplied into life and strength and power. As he recovered his strength, he knew he was getting back the exact echo of what he had put in. If he had put hatred, meanness, revenge, he would get them back. If he tried to speak love, kindness, forgiveness, they would be returned to him like an echo. The challenge for us is 2015. We can choose this next year how we're going to go through life. Are we going to go through life in depression and despair and have things echo back to us that are not nice, that are not good, that are not validating? Or do we want to be positive and go into a new year saying, this is an opportunity to serve God and to do more than we've ever done, to forgive and forget, to put the past in the past and grasp the future? Those are the choices we have, and we have that choice every day. We will begin a new year, an opportunity to choose a new life, a new way of living. We may validate or humiliate. We may give hope or give misery. What is your choice? What will 2015 be like for you? Will it be a time that you go forward and live in God's light or walk in darkness? Let us pray. Gracious God, all too often we know that we get bogged down in life's daily troubles, and we look around and we think there may be no hope, but you, O Lord, are hope. You brought your child into this world that we may all have hope. May we cling to that old rugged cross. May we remember that your Son came for us and that we can be a light to others, that we may shine and show them the way. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.